So why is this Four Noble Truths so unique and so important? Why did I say it's the secret of life? Means everything in life that you have experienced and gone through, and even for the enlightened one, the super mundane, you can discover them there. They are all there. Yeah. That's why this teaching is not normal teaching. Yeah. So what is the first noble truth? Yeah? First noble truth is what? The noble truth with regards to suffering. Yeah? So dukkha satya is correct. So this is the first noble truth. The realities of life and existence. Means all of life and existence, they have this reality. So according to the Buddha, he summarized them into 8 realities. Yeah. He said, if you don't understand this reality, then when you confront them without his teaching, then it will give rise to suffering. Or he called it dukkha. So satya is truth. Dukkha satya means prevalence of suffering. Dukkha or suffering. So this one translated literally as suffering. Or sometimes they call it unsatisfactoriness. Yeah? So this is a very major portion of life. In fact, all of life is covered under this 8 reality. Yeah. So the Buddha say, when you go through life, if you live long enough, you will confront all these 8 realities. And what are these 8 realities? The first 4, you have heard them before, isn't it? Which is birth, old age, sickness, and death. So the Mahayana, they like to use this word, sen lao bing si. Means, these are the realities of life. As long as we live life long enough, first we need to be born. Then as we go through the birth process, we will have to experience aging. Then sickness, even injury. Then finally we die. So these 4 reality is very easy to comprehend if you reflect on it, contemplate into it. And there is also the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha decided to renounce the world and leave the palace to seek an answer to life. Yeah, when he came to see the 4 signs, you remember? The attendant explained to him. He said, first one, he saw a very sick man, or very old man, haggard, very sick, a lot of suffering. And because of that, he realized, if this is the reality that even his youthful body one day will become old, like this very old and decayed person, where all the senses are failing it and everything is already very run down. Yeah. Then disease, he saw. He said, this is not what he wants. Because to him, if this will happen to him, then he has a problem. I cannot overcome old age, sickness, and finally death, where everybody has to die, according to the attendant. That's why he wants to seek an answer to this reality. Then later on, not only he found the answer to this reality, where underneath the Bodhi tree, 6 years later, when he connect back and become enlightened, he realized the form and mind, the form of 5 aggregate of form and mind, which we think is what we are, the human being, is not real. That one is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, karmically conditional. That's why he awakened. Then he got no more problem with old age, sickness and death. That's why he taught you all the five daily contemplation. He said you must contemplate daily so that you develop this wisdom. He said, this body of mine, of ours, is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. You can include suffering if you want. Injury if you want. So knowing this, he got no more problem because the reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death pertain to the physical body, not his true nature. That's why with that understanding, he awakened. Yeah. Then later he realized not only this condition, suffering, dukkha saccha, leading to prevalence of suffering. That's why suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Well, most people don't understand his teaching. That's why he said, after that, the second noble truth, there is a cause behind all suffering, or dukkha, or suffering. And this cause is basically craving, or sometimes you can say it's attachment, clinging, grasping, everything. So this craving can include clinging, grasping, attachment, etc. So when you know the cause behind suffering, and you know what is suffering, means you have the understanding to manage your life better. When you know the cause, you will not be deluded by this wrong view or wrong understanding. That's why the Buddha realized it is craving, born of attachment, clinging and grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind, believing that this is you. That's why this is called Sakkaya Ditti. Sakkaya Ditti, or self-delusion. You deludedly grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the so-called human being thinking that it's real, thinking that it's you. Then I haven't finished the eight reality. I have only explained the first four. I will explain the balance. Then the Buddha said, the fifth reality is when you experience separation, separation from your loved ones, separation from your prized possession, from everything that you think you own. And you believe you exist, that's why you are real, and you can own things, have things. That's why separation from your property, your wealth, your money, your loved ones, and even things that you hold on to dearly, like your business, your whatever things that you have developed or built. So separation can happen in many ways. Yeah? Like loved one, through old age, sickness and death, they also die and they separate from you. And sometimes because of nature's disaster, calamity, nowadays very common. Yeah? You can have gas pipeline burst or tsunami, yeah, which the world has experienced, I think 20 years ago, 2004, I remember the great tsunami. That was the year I officially came out to teach. Then earthquake, war, economic crisis, and many other, like kidnapping, all those things, can lead to separation. And sometimes due to what they call relationship breakdown, they decide not to continue with the relationship. So you see a lot of couple or spouse getting divorced. Then some not married, also they create a lot of suffering, unnecessary suffering, because they want to break the relationship. So separation can occur when there is misunderstanding, when there is selfish intent. All this will happen. And for those who have gone through life, you will understand how severe the suffering can be, especially the death of your loved one who is the breadwinner or somebody that you love so much, so dearly, where you have affection and great respect for. So all this can bring about a lot of suffering. Then during economic crisis, all your wealth, your property, you make a wrong call, you are not careful with your investment, your business, everything can just get wiped off during crisis time, economic crisis. Like now the trade war, I don't know how long it will last. Many people already panic because it's the reality that will manifest. And all these are manifested through human mind, through the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when there is security, there is grasping, clinging. Then after that, the Buddha continues. He said, the sixth reality is when you are with people whom you don't like. Yeah. You know who are the people whom you don't like. Yeah. Married people may know. The stepmother, the in-law. And sometimes, for no reason, step-parent and all those things. Yeah, or stepmother or whatever. Then you have even in the school, the child experience bully. These are people whom you don't like. Then when you go into the career field, when you work, there are bosses that are really very, very difficult to work with. They call it management by harassment and fear. They harass you to deliver and put fear into you. If you don't deliver, I'm going to sack you. I'm going to terminate your appointment. Or I'm not going to pay you anymore. So all this is part and parcel of reality. Yeah. Then the seventh one is when things don't go your way. When your expectations in life are not met. Yeah. So if you expect to be promoted, somebody else get promoted, you become miserable or really unhappy. You expect your good friend, your sister, your parent to love you, to understand you. But when you observe them, they are selfish. And you compare, even your ordinary friend, they care for you more than them. That's why it leads to suffering, means when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. Now, in short, the Buddha say, suffering arises when you cannot get what you want. You understand that? That is the seventh reality. Then the eighth one is, he summarized everything. He said, in short, it is due to your sakyadity that condition you to believe you are real, and you grasp, cling, develop attachment and craving towards the worldly thing. That's how you suffer. So craving can be positive and negative. Craving in Pali is called tanha. Sensual craving, kama tanha. There are a lot of things that through your senses, you can crave for, like your good food and all those things, money, wealth, all these are sensual craving. Then craving to be and craving not to be. Bhava tanha and vibhava tanha. And these three types of craving cover all this clinging, grasping, attachment, etc. That's why in the teaching, it's only one word, tanha, craving. Then all this is a will condition you into suffering. And what is this five degree of form and mind? The two aspects of the human being or living being. For our case, it's the human being. So that one I will go into it later. Yeah? The first aspect is very simple. As a human being, we have a physical body, isn't it? Which is a physical form. We have a consciousness trapped inside. And that is your mind. So your form and mind, the Buddha said, can be break down into the five aggregates. The physical body is the first aggregate of form. Then your mind can be subdivided into four more aggregates of mind. And to understand it is very easy, because the Buddha actually explained it in only words. And most of the Theravada tradition teaching does not know how to expand on it and develop it further, because at that time there was no writing, no recording, nothing. So what happened is, if you understand, if you have meditated, developed the pure awareness nature to understand, then you just ask yourself, what can your mind do? And the four aggregates will become very clear. Then you will understand why the Buddha is so wise. So what can your mind do? Yeah? Your mind can feel. That is the aggregates of feeling. Vedana. Then your mind can perceive. True or not? So everything you come to see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think through your sixth sense, you can perceive it. That's why perception or sanya is also an aggregate of mind. Then what else can you do? Whole day, most people do. You can think, think a lot. All your mental activity, your mental state, mental emotion, your planning, scheming, your cunningness, your whatever mind state. Of course, there are happy moments too, your joy, your peacefulness, your tranquility, your stillness. But there is a lot of anger, hatred, emotion, jealousy, fear, insecurity. All these are your mind states. And this the Buddha calls sankara. In fact, everything your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is sankara. That's why that word sankara is very powerful. The Buddha always used that word. Sabbe sankara anicchang. Sabbe sankara dukkang. Sabbe dhamma anatta. Yeah. Then from there, you will understand that your mind has this capability to create thought process, sankara activity. Yeah. And this is the result of the mind becoming heedless, the birth of the mundane mind. Initially, it's just pure consciousness, the pure awareness nature. Then, through causes and conditions, it stirs and it creates the movement. Then, input the content of consciousness, it becomes a thought. And that thought becomes the five aggregates of form and mind, which is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. The first aspect still got another aggregate. What else can your mind do apart from feeling, perception, and consciousness? Oh, sorry, I give you the answer. Apart from Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, your mind can also become conscious, isn't it? Because you are a conscious being, conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel, think, and think. That's why the Buddha say, Vijnanam. Or consciousness is an aggregate of mind. These four, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, they are the four aggregates of mind. Together with the physical rupa, it becomes the five aggregates. That's why he called it the form of mind, nama rupa. Okay? Then, this is just the first aspect as a human being. Then the second aspect is what the Buddha wants you to understand under the 12-link Paticca-samuppada teaching. Just like I told you, your mundane mind can arise through the pure awareness nature when you input the content. So your content comes about through your aggregates of mind. So the first one is feeling, condition, craving. And because of craving, the three evil root manifest. That's why from there, it manifests all the like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. Then from your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, which is your memory, you input the content. So what happens is, you bring in the external form into your consciousness and its content via the aggregate of perception. Whatever you perceive, like the Buddha image, the external form will enter your mind. Whatever you perceive through your senses, you bring in the external sense data or external form into your mind. That together with the four aggregates of mind also develop the five aggregate, and this is the second aspect, which is namarup, your thought process. Okay? So all this will explain to you how beautiful this teaching is. So the eight realities cover everything, because when we go through life, when you relate this teaching to the modern youth, I think they don't want to listen to you because it's boring talking about birth, old age, sickness and death. You say, I am still young. I got no time for all this nonsense. So you have to relate to them. But nowadays, young people go through a lot of sickness and disease. When you talk about traumatic disease, heart attack, oh, they listen. What they call all the traumatic disease that people nowadays experience, even their parents, their grandparents, going through old age sickness and death, dementia, injury, sickness, especially cancer nowadays, very common, stroke. Yeah. It brings about a lot of suffering. So we have to use modern terminology. Yeah. Like you talk about separation, they cannot understand what you mean. But you talk about divorce, now they understand. Relationship failure, they understand. Now a lot of young people, they look for psychiatrists. That's why that career can actually make a good living if you are in that line. Because there are a lot of mentally sick people. So all this, you have to like use different terminology to let the younger generation understand. Like that with people whom you don't like, you have to talk about career. When you talk about career, then they can understand you much better. So all these are the realities of life and existence, leading to prevalence of suffering when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, when you grasp, cling, attach, and hold, and when you develop all the craving, the wanting, the desire, the sensual desire, kama tanha. So these first two noble truths already so powerful, and you can check any aspect of life within existence, mundane. They are not apart from the eight reality. The eight reality cover everything. If it's not in the first seven, the final summary, it has to do with your five aggregate of form and mind. Through sakayatiti, you grasp and cling. That will cover the rest. Then the third noble truth is the best. What is the third noble truth? What did the Buddha say? Yeah, you all learn the traditional Theravada one. You only know about dukkha, samudaya. Yeah? This one is under samudaya. Cause arising of suffering. Yeah? Then cessation of suffering, nirodha. Then magga, path. But the real third noble truth is this one. The Buddha says suffering need not be. Because this third noble truth say enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So if I know enlightenment in the here and the now is possible, then my problem is gone, isn't it? I have no more issue. But then here the Buddha, where he himself is fully enlightened, he can tell you this. But he hasn't teach you how to develop the cultivation to realize this enlightenment. So that's why there is a fourth noble truth. And this fourth noble truth cover the rest. So he said there is a path. Noble it four path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the most important. That's why a lot of people tell you enlightenment in the here and now is possible, but they never teach you how it can be done. The Buddha different. He actually continued to explain how it can be done. So if you look at this four noble truths, which one is mundane? Yeah? The first two noble truths is that this one explained to you all of the mundane aspect of life, mundane aspect. And these two is supramundane. Because this one will lead you to the realization of the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is not within the conditioned world. So now you understand how all of life, mundane and supramundane, can be understood just because of this Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And he summarized it so well. No one, at that time in 1971, when I got the book, when I first saw the Four Noble Truths, this was very vivid to me. I said, no one can actually do it. Even I myself, at that time, I told myself, if I have awakened to his teaching, I cannot summarize it so well into Four Noble Truths to cover everything. Impossible. I said, he must be the real one. That's why after 1971, I never searched. I never looked at other religion. I just want to understand this teaching. And that's how I came to develop all this affinity and understanding because of my nature's past, cultivation and all those things. So with this, you can see a totally different understanding of what the teaching is. It's no longer the theoretical, understand or not? Dukkha, Samudaya, Nirodha, Magga, they call this the path. Suffering, the cause of suffering, and this one is the cessation of suffering, means enlightenment in the here and now, beyond thought, beyond mind. The form and mind cease, even the pure awareness also cease. Then this is the path that leads to the enlightenment. Means the meditation is this one, Noble Eightfold Path. Well, if you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. You meditate for what? To end? To end what? To end all suffering, isn't it? That's why this is the meditation, understand? Now? So whatever you do, if it doesn't lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And the other proof is, in the Parinibbana Sutta, before the Buddha passed away in the Parinibbana, he told Ananda and the last person who met him. He said, because that person want to know, so many teachers teach about enlightenment, which one is the real one? The Buddha explained to him very wisely. He said, as long as the world continue to have this Noble Eightfold Path teaching, the world will not be without Aryas, enlightenment. That's why this one is the meditation. Understand? Not all the words that you all get attached to, vipassana, jhana, this is the one. Whatever you realize, if that wisdom cannot transform you to have this embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors, then how can you be an Arya? Understand? These are the noble qualities of an enlightened being. They will have right view, right understanding. Means they are not deluded. They understand truth. Whatever that explains the way things are is the truth. What is that reality? Like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And this is the reality. And all these causes and conditions are the essential Dhamma that he has teach. That's why his teaching is very powerful. Then from that right view and right understanding, when you understand the three spiritual law right view, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, then you understand life. You understand his teaching. That's why with this, it will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and your four right effort, including right mindfulness and right samadhi. That's why without this, you cannot awaken. No way. Okay?